Welcome to the See You Next Summer podcast, and we are still continuing Star Wars month in my most anticipated episode, and I couldn't do it alone. With me, as always, is the Cassian Andor to my Jyn Erso, as well as the K2SO to our little group. A good buddy of mine, he's been on the show before, once again talking about Star Wars. I swear I'll get him on for something that's not Star Wars one day. Mr. Raul Rodriguez and Brian Avellino, how are you guys doing?
You made my heart sing by making me K2SO. Mm. He's my favorite. I love him. I love a sassy droid. Give me a sassy droid anytime. Perfect. That's easily going to be probably my favorite character.
I kind of had to make Raul Cassian because, I mean, obviously, Diego Luna is Mexican.
That's fine.
Mexican.
I have been spices that will seize your soul.
Yeah. And you're a Jyn, I'm assuming?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. But Billy has more character than her.
Oh!
We'll get into Jyn Erso real quick and why that is sort of true. Only sort of.
Yeah, so this is what I'm like, episode 80. I was dreading this moment since we did the pilot, but I told Billy, if we do Star Wars, I'm going to watch Rogue One again. And this episode is Rogue One. This is the Star Wars movie that I hate. I would prefer seeing the Christmas special. I prefer watching the Attack of the Clones. I prefer watching the new Disney Plus Christmas special over this.
You should see Brian's face.
That bad?
Yes.
Yeah, no, seriously, it always surprises everybody whenever I say, no, he hates it. He thinks it's one of the worst pieces of crap ever.
It is. And just for a little backstory from the people, our friends, they know my story about this movie. But just going back to 2016, was the beautiful time of just saw The Force Awakens. I was so hyped for Rogue One because remember back in those times on Twitter, like watch Star Wars Rebels and everything will be important for Force Awakens and the future of Star Wars. And I'm like, okay. I was watching Star Wars Rebels week to week, the horrible way that Disney XD put out the programming of the episodes. And they're like, and you have to wait 1 month for the next episode and then 2 months for the next three episodes. And I'm like, okay, this is getting annoying. But when Rogue One came along, I was hyped for this movie. When I saw the first trailer, this is the prequel that I wanted to see since I was a kid. I wanted to see the war. I wanted to see the hardcore war. I wanted to see how everything began in the Empire. This is like the episode 3 that I imagined in my head when I was 8 years old, when I saw that first teaser. I was like, oh my God, this is going to be amazing. And I had a song between my clothes. I haven't unpacked because of the move. I have a Rogue One shirt that I bought on Cinemark. I was that high for Rogue One. I have the stupid new Stormtroopers that are black with the green things by their mouth. I was fucking high for
Death Trooper.
Death Troopers.
Yeah, those troopers. I was hype. And I even paid the damn preview Thursday ticket with 3D XD that cost $25, $30 to see it at 6 p.m. Me and my sister were like, we're hype. We're watching the movie. I was like this. Sleeping and waking up of how bored I was. My sister was waking me up every 30 minutes. And I was like, what the hell is this? This movie, none of the characters grabbed me. And this is a comment. Even my mother told me this when I got up from the theater. Diego Luna was technically distracting me on how bad the acting, especially that bitch. She even, my mother and my father were like, we were like, oh, thank God. They hate them too. They hated Rogue One exactly like me also too. Diego Luna was the only good thing about it. Me and my sister were in the theater, and when K2SO died, I was like, yes! Me and my sister and everybody stared at us. We were applauding every single death. Me and my sister were saying that we're both hating this movie a lot. The only thing that we like is Darth Vader killing all of those people in the hallway.
I mean, that's one of the greatest scenes of, like, all Star Wars.
Yeah, we were told, like, from a friend of ours, just I'm not going to name drop who it was, but they told us what Rogue One originally was going to be because let's just take it back to that first teaser. This was the first Star Wars spinoff movie. This was new territory, right? And it's like, we're going to do Rogue One. It's the story of how the Death Star plans got there. It's the opening crawl. It's the first paragraph of the opening crawl. It's the story behind that. That sounded awesome. And they kept saying, we wanted to bring the war to Star Wars. Like, Gareth Edwards was really keen on that. And I was impressed by his work up until that point because I really liked his Godzilla. I know a lot of people were sort of, like, iffy on it. But I thought, oh, man, this is going to be so good for him. Directing a Star Wars movie. And then I saw the cast, you know, Felicity Jones, Diego Luna, Donnie Yen, I was super excited for because I love Ip Man. He's really big in martial arts. Mm-hmm. And just all around, I was super hyped. And then the first teaser dropped, and it was really good because you just got the
That breaks out of Jin with footage. The black thing that looks like
in none of back. That footage ended up in the movie.
None of it. Not even her facing a fucking TIE fighter. Nothing.
Yeah, no, seriously. Even the big marketing shot was not
in the movie. They're still
drawing
the fucking beach. Nothing.
I was just like, I want to know what happened. And they told it, and the guy told me what happened. It would have been a very interesting movie. I don't know if it would have been good, but definitely more interesting. Like, some characters were meant to be alive. Because at the end of this movie, well, spoiler alert, nobody lives.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's the Suicide Squad.
It really is. It was the Suicide Squad before the Suicide Squad.
Literally.
The Suicide Squad is a much better movie.
This is also interesting because this is our first Disney-owned Star Wars movie. So this is during the Disney era, which now has a reputation for better or worse. Because this was coming off of The Force Awakens. And I don't know if it carried that hype, but I think enough people liked it. It still made a lot of money. And it's just an interesting piece of history, just how everything turned out. And then you get Raul's reaction. I was waiting for this day for so long because he's just going to go on a huge-ass tangent. And then we'll actually get our thoughts on the movies. Mm-hmm. But Brian, I want to ask you, what were you like when you were going to see this movie? Because I know it wasn't that long ago. 5 years ago. It seemed like forever. But
so I do remember seeing this. I do remember seeing this in theaters, obviously. I went with Jake from a certain point of view and a handful of our friends, but I don't remember the reason. I'm pretty sure is it sold out too fast. We went and saw it in IMAX because where I am, we have an IMAX theater downtown, and but it sold out too fast. And I mean, like you guys both said, like we were hyped for it. It's like, we have to see this on IMAX. Like, it's huge. So we ended up having to see this movie at 1 o'clock in the morning. The movie starting at 1 o'clock in the morning. Yeah, it was rough. And if you know Jake, Jake is not a night person. Mm-hmm. He is like 10:30. Like you, after that, you're not getting a text back. So like that was a big enough deal. And I remember at least one of our friends fell asleep through it, like full blown. And I remember being like, okay, this was the most untraditional Star Wars movie like I've seen to date, in the sense of no lightsabers, no Force. Well, I mean, there minus is the Darth Vader scene at the end, and yes. I mean, and the Force, yes. Technically, yeah. Mm-hmm. But I mean, like, no one's like pushing anyone or choking anyone. Like, you're not seeing people like actively use Force powers, if you will.
Yeah, minus the exception of Vader, but even
then, yeah, minus that last scene. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it that scene almost kind of was like, we got to get a lightsaber in there at some point. So like, okay, fine. But yeah, I do remember just being kind of like, oh, okay, well that was different. Like it was good, but that's not like Star Wars-y like I used to. And I mean, to this day, I know Jake and I and some other people like have an argument all the time saying that depending on how you like look at it, it could be interpreted as like the most Star Wars-y of the Star Wars movies because of the fact that like it kind of encompasses like their beliefs of like a small group of people being able to do something big, like those types of theories, if you will. On the other hand, like me, I'm like, well, this is the most un-Star Wars Star Wars movie in the sense of like, there's no lightsaber fight. There's no force throwing people and there's stuff like that. Yeah, it is. It's like you said, Billy, it is a Star War movie. Like a Star War movie because this is the most war-ish type movie. Yes. In a way, it's almost kind of a heist movie too. So we don't usually see those types of things from a Star Wars movie. So yeah. I just remember walking out of it going like, okay, interesting. And it was, I will say for me, this movie became an acquired taste. It did take me, I do know it, it did take me a while to be like, okay, I actually really do like this. Because walking out of it, I was like,
Well, you also saw it at like 1 a.m, so you're not going to be totally
of course.
Your number one.
And yeah, so.
Yeah, I know. I remember seeing this movie very clearly. And with that, let's start our recap. So the film opens with a long time ago, and I, you know, when you see a Star Wars movie, you tend to expect a crawl.
Oh,
immediately.
Oh.
And I was like, what?
The most controversial thing about the whole shebang. I will never forget that. I think that was probably what pissed me off and started my downhill slope of when I first hated. I was like, where's my crawl? Bro, where's my crawl? Like, yeah.
You
what are we doing?
Walt Disney.
Yeah. So, okay, continue. Sorry.
But yeah, no. Then we see the shot of the planet. I thought at first it was Saturn, but it is what, Brian? The planet the Ursos live on.
I want to say Edu.
It's not Edu.
Edu is I don't know why. Dies.
Yeah. Yes. It's Lamu.
Lamu. I knew it was a moo.
Yes.
Damn it.
It confused me too.
I remember something from that movie. Huh.
Oh, yeah. No, I actually know the planets of these.
To be fair, I did not watch this movie before this. But that's not me.
Good one.
But yeah, no, we see a young Jyn Erso, and she sees this Imperial shuttle that's coming towards their farm. Beautiful cinematography, by the way. Just great shots.
I will say a positive. This movie looks great on 4K on Disney Plus.
Oh my god, it's so good looking. And we see, of course, the legend himself, Mads Mikkelsen, Galen Erso, prepare to take his daughter, get her out of there, and his wife, Lyra, who is contacting. Oh yeah, by the way, they have blue milk in there, because that's...
They do have blue milk.
That's just a little nod to the original. And then we see Saw Gerrera, played by Forrest Whitaker. He's calling them, literally FaceTiming them.
With his wig reshoot?
No, this was not a reshoot, obviously. But this was interesting because I knew Saw from the Clone Wars series. And then it took me a while to understand that he is supposed to be Che Guevara. Oh. Literally, their names are very similar. He's an extremist. And even in history of Star Wars, he's seen as either a... fighter of oppressors and stuff. You know the image of Che. Like, if you have been to any college campus, you have seen his image before. It's one of the most famous images ever. And he is either a fighter of freedom or he was a communist extremist, which is very similar in Star Wars because Saw uses very extreme methods and he's very violent. But he is going to take care of Jyn, and basically, the Empire wants Galen to help develop a secret project. We all know it's the Death Star, mm-hmm. but he's a chief engineer on the project. And that's being headed by director Orson Krennic, who is coming to pick him up. And he's played by the always great Ben Mendelsohn, with his slight lisp and his Australian accent.
In his fabulous white coat. Can we talk about the costume?
The cape and everything.
His awesome line of death troopers behind him.
Yes.
And they were this close to greatness.
It would have been so cool. It would have, died by his cape. And then I was like, no capes!
Yeah. No capes.
Yeah. Before Galen says goodbye to Jyn, he calls her. He's just like, I love you, Stardust, which is very important in this movie. And you can tell that the mother and father, Galen and Lyra, really do love Jyn. Just how they look at him, it's just like, oh shit, no, this is like, this is big, but you gotta go. And then Krennic is just like, he's talking with them, and Galen's like, yeah, I'm living out here because, you know, after Lyra died. And he's just like, oh yeah, my condolences. He's like, you're an acclaimed scientist, but you are a terrible liar. Because he knows him. They've known each other for years. Especially if you've read the book Catalyst, which is the detailing of...
I know, I still haven't read that one.
It's a prequel book it helps establish that more. But I know that's a criticism for Raul, because he's just like, I don't want to read any crappy books.
I've heard people say that the book's better than the movie. I'm not kidding.
But this is my problem. Going with the church, and just a little pause. This is the problem that I have noticed with Disney lately with the Star Wars. That if you want to understand something better, you have to buy 20 comic books, buy 5 books to understand
Rogue One. You're not wrong.
To watch a Disney Plus show for maybe it's going to be for like 10 episodes. To understand a crappy movie that had no character development.
I'm not going to argue with you. That is something Star Wars definitely does, is they develop their characters on the outside.
Clone Wars is proof of that.
And so, for example, Robert said this in Attack of the Clones, that he thinks because he watched all of the Clone Wars, Rebels, and the Bad Batch, now a lot of things that he established in Attack of the Clones are more understandable. And I'm like, me, not watching none of those shows, I'll still get it. And also because I have friends like you guys that will tell me some data about it, because I don't have an interest for them.
Yeah.
And that's the thing, when it happened with Rogue One, I got bullied with some people online on Twitter, like, it's because you hate that movie, you should read this book. And I'm like, I don't want to read them. So I was like, they were gatekeeping, so you're not a Star Wars fan. You don't read those books and those comics. So I was like, that's not valid. I grew up only watching the movies. I didn't read those books from the 70s and 80s, the legend books. And I was still a big fan of Star Wars. The only ancillary show that I saw was the Jendi Tartakovsky's Clone Wars, the first season of Clone Wars, the one that is running right now, and the first 3 seasons of Rebels. And still, I'm like, I don't have that kind of interest. And with The Mandalorian, that's another horrible thing to talk about later. But I don't like The Mandalorian either, because my thing is, I want drama. I want a character that will grab me, that was like, I care about this character. It's a thing when you watch a show or a movie. If you don't care about the characters, why are you going to keep watching?
And you want a telenovela. You like the soap opera part of it.
Yes, that's the other thing. That's why I grew up watching Star Wars. I want drama.
But Star Wars is only like 20% soap opera. That's the thing that keeps me on.
Well, I will still hold on to the drama.
God damn it. There are still parts that are very soap opera-ish, especially with Diego Luna. We'll get to Cassian. Thing.
You will get to know more after you watch his Disney Plus show, and that's part of my argument. I don't like that kind of gatekeeping in Star Wars, and I know it has happened before, but I haven't got bullied since 5 years ago, but it's a little bitchy that because I don't want to invest $200 on ancillary material, that's why I'm going to still be hating this movie. Because also I put out the argument, even Chris Tomlin said this in a Rogue One essay, he didn't got to read any books to understand the original trilogy. Why do I have to buy those books to understand the character? He even did this essay in 2017. It was like, I wonder if there's going to be a book about Jean Erso. And then he puts out an image. I was like, oh my God, I was editing this essay and they're putting a Jean Erso book. And it's kind of like, that's my problem. And that's why I stopped watching Star Wars Rebels. So I was like, it's not worth it. That's the thing that I did not finish Rebels is because of that, because of Rogue One.
To which I say,
Rebels is so good.
Yeah, Rebels is incredible just because it's just a great show. But I understand that point. Like, on one hand, it's genius marketing because that makes you, it's just like, oh shit, I could get this stuff. But it's also, it's how they get you to buy their products.
Yeah.
That's genius on Disney's part.
I literally just went and bought comic books for Star Wars today.
But again, I agree that point where you shouldn't need to do this in order to understand character. And I completely agree with that. And I think that point is valid. Because
you're not wrong.
Yeah. Anyway, Jin watched the mom comes out and shoots Krennic, but he shoots first. They have a quick Mexican standoff. And then, if you want to call it that. And then little Jin runs away, hides under a fake rock tunnel thing. And then Saw Gerrera picks her up. And then it cuts to... Oh, yeah. Jin's mom also gives her, I believe that's a Kyber crystal. Mm-hmm. Which is...
Kyber crystal necklace.
The Kyber crystals are the things
Kyber pendant, if you want to call
it. Oh, sure. But the Kyber crystals in Star Wars lore typically... they are the things that power a lightsaber. They give him that power.
Mm-hmm.
And many times Padawans go to certain planets. Just certain planets. Elum, mostly, which would eventually become Starkiller Base. But there are certain planets where they have trials. And a Kyber crystal will call to them.
Like that Jedi Fallen Order game?
Yes. That is exactly what it is.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And yeah, they're very powerful things. And that's going to be important because, spoiler alert, that's what the Death Star is powered on. Mm-hmm. It's a bunch of Kyber crystals.
Hence the bright green lasers.
Exactly. Mm. And then it cuts, 15 years later, and we see adult Jin. She's in a cell, and she's just got nothing. She's a street rat. She's Aladdining this shit. And
she's nothing.
While that's happening, the Rebel Alliance on Yavin 4, they're discussing like the plans to the Death Stars because they hear a rumor about a weapon because of one of the this pilot. They really established they're just like it's the pilot, he defected and he has information about Galen Erso and this weapon that the Empire is developing, and then they task Cassian Andor to go check that out. And we saw Cassian before that he questioned one of Saw's partisans, which is like his whole section, because he's really a splinter cell of the rebellion now. He's not really part of it because he's seen as too extreme, which is completely
literally.
Well, yeah, it's totally justified too. But Cassian does something.
One of the only cool scenes that he has in this movie.
Yeah, no, he kills the guy. Like, because they're going to be spotted by stormtroopers, and this is where it touches on that little bit of moral gray area where they have to do bad in war. There's no good. Totally good, totally bad guy. And good guys do bad things, bad guys do good things. But here it really shows that the good guys really are, like, they will do bad things.
And
especially with what Cassian is told to do.
And later. I can reenact in that moment. I was like, okay, this got a little interesting. And then we get to another thing that I hated from this beginning of the movie. We hop into so many different planets in the first 10 minutes. There's a lot of planet hopping.
There's a lot of planet hopping. You're not wrong.
Yeah, there's quite a bit of planets hopping.
Yeah, that means that that was heavily edited.
Yes, this movie was very clearly reshot when you when you take into the context of like that post-production didn't end until the end of November of 2016. And it was supposed to come out at the end of December.
And also,
and they had been working for this movie for like 2 years.
Being a little snarky, the child Jin acted way better than Felicity Jones.
Never.
You have a real thing against Felicity Jones, I guess.
Oh, because she ruined the Robert Landon franchise when I saw Inferno. And I'm like, I'm going to hate this bitch. I saw
Inferno
2 months before Rogue One.
That was a terrible movie. That wasn't her fault.
I have noticed this. Felicity Jones does the Jennifer Lawrence crap. If I'm going to be in a big movie, I'm not going to act. If I'm in an indie, I'm going to act my ass off.
You know, what, now that you mention it, maybe. Yeah, and Cassie and Andor, played by Diego Luna, whom I always will remember from Y Tu Mama Tambien.
And I will remember him from the telenovela El Premio Mayor, the big prize.
Yeah, he's a big actor in Mexico.
Yeah.
And that I was just like, oh, come on. Of course Raul would gravitate towards that. It's that representation. But his accent also just helps with, I don't know, it's cool. We get Mon Mothma. We even get Bail Organa back. Quick Jimmy Smits. I was just like, ah, oh, Jimmy Smits. Because I love him.
And so it is.
So it is. Yeah, it goes to the planet Jeddah.
Mm-hmm.
And we see Bodhi Rook, who is the pilot, played by now super acclaimed actor Riz Ahmed. Like before this, I think he did a HBO series called The Night Of with John Turturro. Mm-hmm. And he won a lot of awards for that. But... And he's gone on to do some really good stuff in Venom. He wants to join the rebels and he's apprehended. We're on the planet Jeddah, by the way. Yep. That's going to be important. But then we go back to Jin. She's having a prisoner transfer.
Mm-hmm.
And then suddenly the rebels come and they free her, including... my favorite character, I think everyone's favorite character, even people that don't like this movie except for Raul, really love the droid. K2SO, played by Alan Tudyk.
I can be so garbage.
He is one of those actors that you have definitely seen. I mean, Firefly, freaking A Knight's Tale, the Joker from Harley Quinn. He's made the
rounds. Where's my goddamn car, Bruce? My favorite line.
Alan Tudyk is a great actor. But I did not give a fuck about this droid.
Hey, you are being rescued. Please do not resist. He has the funniest lines in these movies.
Yep.
It's
much,
so good.
Much funnier delivery than him.
But he like freaking clotheslines or almost clotheslines Jin, and it's great.
It would have been a much cooler movie. He would have killed her in that moment.
But he's an Imperial droid that's been repurposed by Cassian.
Mm-hmm.
They
classic
take
Mexican
her to Yavin.
Thing of buying something used. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and then all the rebel leaders are in the room, like General Dodonna, Mon Mothma, Bail Organa, all the big leaders, and they all have their 70s looks as well. There's a lot of mustaches, sideburns,
absolutely,
and they're just like, "Oh, we need to get. When was the last time you saw your dad?" And she's just like, a while ago. And then what about Saw Gerrera? And then she's just smartly asked, she's just like, what does this have to do with my dad?
Mm-hmm.
And they're just like, we think that Saw has information regarding your dad because the pilot was sent by him.
Yeah.
It's like, okay. They're like, we can find Saw. That's not the problem. The problem is whether he will allow us to see him. Because at this point in time, Saw Gerrera has just gone completely nuts. He has lost his damn mind.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like way more robot. And this is where we get the big-haired, bushy-bearded. This is the Che Guevara part of it, where he's very unkempt. And when we
do
get his introduction...
So annoying.
Lies! Deceptions!
Cannot stand
I'm overacting! I'm a fucking idiot.
Forrest Whitaker is so goddamn good in this.
No.
But he's great in everything. He's incredible.
I agree with Raul on this. I couldn't stand
it's
him.
It's so fucking funny, though. Like, it's just
could
unintentionally.
Could not stand
it's just
him.
Like, but no, he's just... he huffs like this gas thing, which reminded me of Blue Velvet, and then he's just like, Boar Gullet! And I was like, what?
Yeah.
We'll get to what Boar Gullet is.
That was COVID in Jeddah. That's a thing that we don't know. We're going to know in a book later.
No, but their holdout is in Jeddah. So some of Saw's crew found Bodhi and then took him to him.
Yes.
And then Saw's just like, you're lying about what you mm-hmm. know. Because he's crazy and paranoid.
Absolutely.
But Jin, Kate, and K2 and Cassian go to Jeddah, and Cassian is told by
one of the
the rebellion generals. Mm-hmm. I know he has a name, but
General Draven.
Yes, General Draven. That's total douche in this movie, but yeah. He's just like, look, we're not going to extract Galen Erso. It's too much of a risk because he's Imperial. So you get a chance, you take him out. And only Cassian knows this as well. And you can clearly see on his face, he's just like, all right, fine. Like, he doesn't want to do it, but he's got to do it. He's a soldier. Anyway, while that's happening, on Jeddah, Bodhi is getting interrogated by Boar Gullet, which is like this weird-ass...
The hentai porn?
Oh, God. I just thought... It's this weird giant octopus-looking thing. Yeah. The second time this has happened in a Disney Star Wars movie.
What producer... in Lucasfilm requested that.
Well, maybe they're going for the Japanese market. You know.
Yes, Disney trying to sell to the other audiences. That's true. Mm-hmm,
mm-hmm. Yeah, or maybe somebody was into hentai.
Or it's like art. Blocking Jumbo Jega from the Chinese marketing. Oops.
But no, it's one of its tentacles are on his like skull
it,
and whatever.
It
and it's
reads
just like,
their minds.
And can lose their mind effects. Also.
But it also makes them crazy while
go insane.
Does it. Yeah,
just
yep.
Doing the Saw Gerrera is so fun.
He's such I hate that character.
But we also see there's this something I do love is that you see a TIE fighter, but then you see through some incredible lighting you see a Star Destroyer revealed.
Yes,
and then through that lighting we see the Death Star revealed, and we see the true size of this thing. That this thing really is the size of a planet.
Ah, when it's getting the dish installed.
Yes, and I was like, it's a boob. It's a giant boob.
Giant boob.
Getting the last bit on there, and
this is the PlayStation
thinking,
2 cutscene, right? This is the PlayStation 2 cutscene with Tarkin.
Oh, yes. And on the Imperial shuttle, Krennic is there, looking much older, by the way. And then we get something I still have mixed feelings about. General Grand Moff, or Grand Moff Tarkin.
Mm-hmm.
They literally digitally recreated Peter Cushing's face. They got a different actor, of course, because Peter Cushing is no longer with us, but they brought back Tarkin.
And I hope that his family got paid for this.
He's just like, hopefully your weapon will be good. And him and Krennic just like spar. They clearly hate each other.
Oh, they're like Serena and Blair in Gossip Girl. They're like between each other's tails. They're like,
he's
fuck
just
you,
like,
bitch. This is my dress. Ah!
He's just like, you know, the Empire spent a lot of money on this thing. It would be a shame if it didn't work. And then Krennic's just like, oh, it'll work.
Yep.
Be sure of it. And Tarkin's just like, all right, you want to test that? Let's do a test right now. Let's go to Jeddah, because we know that Saw Gerrera is there. Because Galen somebody from Galen Erso's section defected.
Mm-hmm.
Or they know about Bodhi. They know that he defected and that it came from Galen's section.
Mm-hmm.
So they're just like, we're going to Jeddah. We're going to test it there. We're going to get a whole audience and everything. And yeah, he's just like, it won't fail. But yeah, Jin, Cassian, they're on Jeddah. And I love just the whole snarkiness between Jin, Cassian, and K2, because none of them really want to be there with each other. They clearly just don't like. They're all a means to an end.
Mm.
Yeah.
Which I feel like that's something that you see a lot in war movies and just in general. And Kay is just like, where did you get that blaster? And they're just like, yeah, where did you get that? And she's just like, I just found it.
Poor K2SO. He just wants to shoot some people.
How come I don't get a blaster? Because you'll probably shoot me with it. Mm. Also, we need you to pilot. And he's just like, yeah, that's fair. I guess I'll be on the ship. No, just being useless. And they're just like, we need to blend in. He's like, I'm an Imperial droid. It's being a Jedha city is being occupied by Imperials.
I think K2SO in our friend Morgan's voice, that I think would have been a much better character.
Oh, God. I'm not doing the Morgan voice. He'll kill me.
Yeah, but isn't this the line where he says, oh, Cassian told me to care about you, Jin, or something?
No. That's later. That was before the battle on Scarif.
Oh, okay.
But this is where they're going through the city. Quick cameo by, I call him Pig Nose and...
The Cantina guys.
Ballsack.
Oh.
The Cantina guys.
Dr. Evazon and, oh my God, I'm drawing brain fart.
Anyway, it's the guys that
it'll
go,
come
like,
to me.
He doesn't like you. Those yeah. guys. And then here, we meet my favorite character next to K2SO. That's also because I love Donnie Yen. Chirrut Imwe.
Yes.
And he is he's blind, first of all. Yeah. Very much like...
Ponda Baba. That was it.
Ponda Baba.
Dr. Evazon Ponda Baba.
But Chirrut Imwe, he's like this cool monk, but he's blind. And he notices, he's just like, you know, you can give me that necklace and I'll tell you your future. Mm-hmm. And then Jin, he picks her out of the crowd too.
Yeah.
And then she's just like, how do you know that I was wearing a necklace? Because again, he's blind. He can't mm-hmm. see. And he goes like, the Force has a strange way of, it gravitates towards kyber crystals.
Mm-hmm.
Oh yeah. And we see in the background, the other guy, Baze Malbus. And
yeah.
They are both known as Guardians of the Wills, which yes. I don't know if I am qualified to explain what that is, because that's a whole different side with the Jedi.
That's a lot of lore to explain.
They're just Force monks, essentially. Yeah. They guard places of strong Force origin. So, like,
the Jedha is one of those places.
And yes. So correct me if I'm wrong, the original title for A New Hope wasn't one of the drafts of the screenplay George Lucas was called it the Wills?
Yes, you would be correct.
Mm-hmm. That sounds right, yeah.
It was a very, very complex title.
Yeah.
I mean, before the Force came,
in the 70s, though.
Before the Force came along, it was literally just going to be the Kyber Crystal, which was going to be like a Holy Grail sort of mm-hmm. thing. But that got reincorporated into what we said earlier. But anyway, they're roaming through the city. They notice that Saw's people, they're going to set a trap because the Empire's been mining the Kyber Crystals on this planet to get to the Death Star. And Saw's been, you know, doing guerrilla tactics where he is taking all of those and just, he's generally just causing panic and being a pain in the ass for them. And they know that they're just like, if we name drop you, we can get an audience with Saw because he'll know who you are.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And then we get a quick fight and it actually is really much like a war, except for that stupid kid. There's always that fucking kid. And I was like, I have a fan theory that I think that is Rose because
oh
it looks
God.
Like Rose.
No
same
way.
Haircut and everything.
That's like so.
It
would
not
be like,
make sense because Rose in the last year she's like 20. This
I know, or at least
hope,
like a descendant
like
or something.
Right.
You don't know the Force.
Well,
has
they don't have the same
way.
Last name. She actually has a name and her mom.
Oh yeah, that's right. And I think it's Numa. Which is also a Clone Wars reference. Because there's a Twi'lek named Numa. And Twi'leks are like the big eared...
Is it the Hera girl?
Yes.
Hera in Rebels. Mm-hmm. We're probably just confusing the shit out of everybody that's listening, unless they're Star Wars fans.
Mm-hmm.
But that's really what this movie feels like. It's a lot of lore dumping.
A lot.
Much lore.
Like,
in Raul's case, just a lot of dumping.
one of my favorite podcasts is called Headcanon. They're the same guys that recap Pretty Little Liars, Bros Watch PLL. It's one of my favorite podcasts. And in Headcanon, they did an episode on The Last Jedi. And one of my favorite jokes of like, Oh, remember when they got into the part they know about, how to track in the light speed tracking? And they was like, mm-hmm. no. So the bad thing about Rogue One, the no character development that makes the movie good. I was like, no, that happened in a reshoot. They made Ryan Johnson to add that crap. And I'm like, I love that guy because that's technically me. Oh, they both hated Rogue One. Their episode on Rogue One is like 5 hours. It's amazing.
Yeah.
And so what you're saying is you need a Snyder cut version of Rogue One.
Yes, release the
I would be Scott. Interested to see what the footage was, mm-hmm. honestly. Like, I'm always interested in seeing that stuff. Like, Lord and Miller's stuff, it was supposed to be like a straight-up comedy. I'm sure it was funny as shit. I'm telling you that. But then probably one of my favorite scenes, like a bunch of action. We get a quick little thing with K2SO pretending that they're prisoners. He slaps Diego Luna, and you could see on his face.
The blooper.
Yeah, the blooper that Diego Luna is covering his face. He's trying so hard not to laugh, and that's great. But then we see Chirrut, and he comes in. He's just like, Force is going to get me through this. And they're all just like, what are you talking about? And there's a ton of stormtroopers, by the way. And then he has his Daredevil moment, where he just beats the shit out of him with his stick.
Yeah.
And he wasn't the only one. Jin had like some baton, and the stormtroopers really just can't get over like getting beat with sticks. First the Ewoks.
Yeah, no.
And
no.
Their armor sucks.
Their armor is pointless.
Mm-hmm. And Baze has the best weapon, which is like the machine gun blaster.
Yeah.
And just takes them all out. Like, do-do-do-do-do-do-do.
Yeah,
you almost hit me. Yeah, you're well. Or he's just like, you're welcome.
There was a thing that I saw on Reddit or Twitter when Rogue One happened that supposedly those two, Chirrut and the other one, Blaze, they were boyfriends. I don't know if it's cool.
They should have been, but I think that they
that would have been some drama Disney that I don't care about them.
I think Disney got scared of that.
Of course.
Yeah.
So, yeah. I mean, clearly it was hint. It was. Heavily seemed and implied.
Lies!
Also, I think that scene, even though it has good action, I think I would have cared a lot if Jen would have seen the little girl getting murdered. I think we'll have got some more drama.
Dude.
Oh my god.
But she goes in to save the girl, and then Cassie's like,
did not got to save her. It would have been more dramatic to see how hardcore is the world and how stormtroopers are.
So if Cassian saved her instead of Jen?
It would have been cooler. That's the thing. I would have loved this movie a lot more if Cassian would have been the lead. This is not a fucking sexist thing. I don't give a fuck about Jen.
You just don't like Felicity Jones, too. So
I like her that in that movie with Stephen Hawking.
You just wanted her to save the child, but unfortunately die in the act of saving her.
You know who she saves the child and is a Latino? Pedro Pascal in The Mandalorian. See what I did there? It's called The Child. Anyway. So Saw's partisans get them, and they capture them. Another funny moment is when they're putting the bags over their heads, and they put it over Chirrut, and he just goes, are you kidding me?
I'm blind.
Well, one of the only times that I laughed during the movie was that one.
That was great.
That joke. That's a good joke.
Oh, that brought me back to Avatar. Like,
yes!
With the Toph blind jokes.
Toph is fucking amazing. Toph in this movie would have been great.
Yeah, we get Chirrut and his awesome badass stick fighting ways. But they go to, they're in Saw's place. It's very run down. You can tell that they are just, it reminds me of like World War II France, like French resistant fighters and stuff like that, where it's very dirty, very minimal, but there's just a young, scrappy band of people, and that was a motorcycle.
I was like, that's either a motorcycle or someone's stomach.
It was my stomach because I haven't eaten.
Maybe it was Borg Gullet. You don't know.
Yeah.
Anyway,
I need Borg Gullet to forget Jin, this movie.
And then he's just like, Jin, is it really you?
Yeah.
And then she's just like, yeah, you left me when I was a kid, shithead. Screw you. They just wanted me to have an audience. So, yeah, it happened. And I'm gone. And he's just like, they bring you here to kill me? There's not much of me left. Because, yeah, he's literally, like, freaking... He turned. It's kind of Darth Vader-esque, where...
He's more robot than person.
He's more machine now than man. Yeah. Twisted and evil. It's like poetry, it rhymes.
Oh my god.
And it was a good point, though. And then Saw is just like, oh yeah, 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 I got this message, because Bodhi has a hard drive of a holographic message that Galen has. Oh yeah, has.
I just remember.
And it's actually... This is actually a really good message, because he's just like... We see Galen's... he's like, I don't know what you think of me, but I just want you to know I think about you every day, and that it's really, really hard. Of the pain of losing you or your mother. And up until this point, Jin has been terrible. Like, just freaking... Just a stick in the mud, very, you know, tough girl or whatever. And
the only then good acting, like, in the whole movie was that moment where she's just
when
shut up, yeah, and she, just watching the message. I was like, I think that was the only day that Felicity just wanted to act.
But no, she's,
I'm being a bitch because I hate this movie a lot and I bring my good coffees. I'm sorry.
She's literally about to cry too. It's he's just like, Jin, my stardust. You don't know. I did something that nobody thought I could do, which was I lied. I learned how to lie. Because you need to go on Scarif and get the plans, the structural plans of the Death Star, because I set a trap. And there, that is my revenge. It's a flaw so small that they will never even notice it. We know what it is. The exhaust port. It's the one exhaust port. I swear to God.
I'm going to
go out there and yell. I'm not editing this out, by the way.
I noticed that a lot of people that defend this movie is just because of that. This whole movie will make the motivation that was like, oh my God, the Death Star got destroyed because of a little thing. And I'm like, I have been a fan of Star Wars since 97, going to 2016 for 19 years. I did not give a fuck of how they destroyed it, because I thought they destroyed it just because of fate and the fucking laser went exactly there. Fate and the Force.
People wanted to know why there was a 2-foot hole in the ship.
Because a guy had a devotion to her daughter, and even though the guy is responsible for the deaths of billions of people in Alderaan, a few hours later.
I don't know about
now. It's easy to say that now.
Uh-huh. I mean, you put it like that. Uh-huh. That's pretty simplified.
Oh, but God. No, okay, keep going.
The message happens, and he's just... Coincidentally, at that moment, the Death Star fires a laser that destroys the city. And I mean obliterates the city. And Krennic's just like, oh, yeah. But he's just like, just go one, like, notion or whatever.
One little poof.
Yeah. And please. Then... Tarkin's just like, okay, I see that your work has paid off, Krennic. I'll tell the Emperor about this, because he's really holding it over Krennic's head. Krennic really wants an audience with the Emperor. Like, he's dead set on that. And
oh, yeah.
Tarkin's just like, you know, Emperor's in my DMs. He's just waiting for me to report back on this little science project that you got on.
And me in the background, if I was there, kiss! Krennic and Tarkin, you should kiss! Fuck already!
If you read Catalyst, you know that actually Krennic has a... He sort of had a thing for Galen, which is why he was so bitter.
Oh, really?
Because don't Galen went with the girls.
He met Lyra, and they had Jin, and he felt very bitter about that. Oh, I mean, they were still really good friends, though. But
interesting.
That's if you read Catalyst. And then I love that Tarkin immediately is just like, I'm going to take over from here and just say that I always had faith in this.
Snaked it out.
And then we get another great line where Krennic is just like, we stand amidst my achievement, not yours!
This show is just so Billy can act.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, just wait till Last Jedi.
He's technically acting because he knows how much I hate this movie, and I'm like, I give him props because he's making me cheer about talking about this piece of garbage. I love that he's balancing it out.
100%.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then after that, even the debris is able to go up, and it's like...
Saw's dead! Yay!
Yeah, Saw stays behind, and he's just like, go with them, Jin! Because they're just like, oh shit, everything's going to blow up real quick. And
the fucking trope, oh, there's no space for me. I need to die because the script says so.
Yeah.
I know. I literally went, oh, thank God.
When save he- the oh, yeah, dream. Me too. Yeah,
die. Save the dream.
Yeah.
And then he's just like, I'm tired of running. It's
bye,
like,
bye, Felicia.
You can't
even run. I was just about to say the same thing.
You can't even run anyway, so it's like, whatever. And then they get out. It's pretty intense. And yeah, the Death Star blew up Jedha City. I kind of like that detail where like the planet surface is out towards, like, it's almost touching the Death Star. Mm-hmm. Like, it's out of the atmosphere and shit. And I was just like, oh my God, like, that's crazy. And it's only an inkling.
It drove me nuts how the ship, Death Star, was upside down.
Yeah.
Yeah, that is kind of weird.
I was like, what are you doing?
Also, when Krennic is like, oh my God, he's so beautiful, like, the way that he's admiring it. And I'm like, yeah. Okay.
Yeah, it's so beautiful. I just massacred millions of people.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so then after that, I believe they go to Edu.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Which is the most depressing planet ever because it is literally just dark and raining. Yeah. It's like going to Britain.
Yeah. Oh.
Yeah. How dare you, says Marvin.
Probably better.
Oh, you mean, how dare you? No, he'd probably be like, no, that's probably accurate. It's depressing. But they'd go... they do some like stealth shit.
Mm-hmm.
And I like that Chirrut also, he immediately calls out Cassian. He's just like, you're hiding something. The Force acts strange around you.
Yeah, something. I want to say he says something about death, too. Death mm-hmm. surrounds you, or something like that. Something that was like, yeah, this asshole's going to do some bad stuff.
I wouldn't know, Brian. I already raised the movie already.
Come on. It's not the worst movie in the world.
Yes, it is.
No, my God, you're so overdramatic.
This is the problem. You have said you're still holding on, let go, and you didn't.
I don't need to.
Because I'm not going to let go.
Yeah. Anyway, Cassian and Bodhi go out because I guess he would recognize Bodhi. Mm-hmm. Galen sent Bodhi to get Jin. It's convoluted as shit. But anyway.
Pilot. Mm-hmm.
Yes, he's the pilot. And Cassian's just like, oh yeah, I'm just going to set up this easily obvious sniping position, mm-hmm. by the way. And Bodhi's just like, what are you doing? It's down there. And he's just like, yeah, I'm covering your back. Like, really, Cassian? He's so bad at lying. Sneaky. It's hilarious.
Because he's a bad written character.
Who? Cassian or Bodhi?
All of them. Bodhi. Because that's the thing about Cassian, because first you sell him kind of like a spy that will work for both sides, and maybe he has a grit, and now he has a conscience because he met this piece of wall that says, I have hope. Now that it doesn't want to kill Galen, I'm like, what the fuck just happened?
This piece of wall.
Yeah, a piece of wood. Like a broom will act better than Felicity Jones. Like a broom with a wig will act better.
Well, at least he didn't have to end up being the one that kills her because 5 seconds later, or kills him, 5 seconds later, the little platform explodes.
No. Oh, yeah, because the rebellion found out that where they were going, mm-hmm. I guess. And I forget if somebody called help, but they were just like, oh, or no, General Driveman is just like, yeah, send a squad there. We're going to cover it up. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. They're like,
and they blast the shit out of this platform.
Yeah. So he's like, no, I'm not going to snipe him. Oh, well, you're dead now.
Yeah. Well, especially also because Krennic killed a lot of Galen's posse because about the plans. Oh, yeah.
Murdered.
Yeah, and then what was the next thing? Oh, of course, the dramatic scene of like, Daddy, Daddy, I'm here.
Yeah.
I'm trying to give some drama to this movie.
My stardust.
Here's my stardust. Yeah, I'm sure it'll stay forever.
And then
the movie starts with Michelle Pfeiffer and Robert De Niro, way better than this movie.
Okay, I'll actually give you that one. But still, I was thinking of the app, Rest in Peace.
Oh, yeah, too.
And he's just like, oh, I get to see you again. I have so much to tell you.
Yeah. Yes!
That part is pretty funny, how he's like, oh, my Stardust, I have so much to tell you, and you're dead.
And then I was expecting, because I saw the Suicide Squad recently, I was expecting her to just be like, hey, yeah. Hey, wake up.
Wake up. Give a little slap.
But then suddenly Cassian starts shooting them all, because he had the position to actually shoot Galen, but he didn't, because, yes, he has a conscience, apparently.
Yep.
And then we get an awesome battle. Oh, there was this great moment with Chirrut when he takes out a TIE fighter. Just chance. It's so ridiculous.
I love that character.
Yeah, because Donnie Yen is a badass.
It's blind luck, so...
In my experience, there's no such thing as luck.
Mm.
It's the Force. It guides you.
Yes. So anyway, they're kind of screwed. And Jin is just like, hey, what was that about? You know, you were going to say that, oh, we're going to extract my dad, but you were going to kill him. You didn't tell us that. And then he's just like, I had every chance to pull the trigger. But did I?
Yeah. Jerk move.
Yeah, I was now that you care about these fights, I have been in these fights since I was 6 years old. I have lost everything.
So,
and so that's the thing. That was an interesting data about Cassian. Like, I was like, okay, 6 years old, why did you just make him the protagonist? Seeing a young Mexican kid battling droids and escaping the Rise of the Empire. That would have been a cool movie pitch. It would have been a cool intro.
You know what? It's an even cooler TV show.
Damn it.
But you know what? He's just like, oh, we have orders. And there's actually a really good line where she's just like, well, then you're no better than a stormtrooper.
Mm-hmm. I have a feeling, Raul, you're right. You're going to like the TV show because Felicity Jones isn't going to be in it.
She's going to be in it?
No, she's not going to be
in it. Okay, so now I can watch it.
Yeah, like, you are so overdramatic.
That's what you signed up for when you met me 7 years ago. You're not
overdramatic. Yes, this is literally just us talking. Brian is doing stuff to mess with me, by the way.
Of course.
Oh my gosh. This is it's the camaraderie that sometimes I wished in this movie. Anyway, the next scene is when Krennic goes to Mustafar to meet with freaking Darth Vader and also one of those hooded guys that looks like Dasaad from the Justice League movie. And he's played by Death from Supernatural. Yes! I'm pretty sure that's Death.
His name starts with a V. It's like Vin. Oh, Christ. Okay, keep talking.
But yeah, then I did like the camera work and when the door goes up and God damn it, they're messing with me. Guys, seriously. When the door goes up and you see his silhouette and it's just no. It's so cool and I really like that they got James Earl Jones back. They probably paid him a shit ton of money. And
all he has to do is talk.
I mean, yes.
Don't choke in your aspirations.
We could have done without that line. I'll give you that, Raul.
It's just the thing of him. It just states the point again. He's just like, oh, you're going to tell the Emperor?
Be careful
not to choke. Yeah. Wink.
Oh my god.
Vinay. That's what it was. I knew that's what I thought it was.
It was still nice to see Mustafar. Is it fan service? Oh yes, absolutely.
I love fan service. Give me fan service all the time. Like that's totally fine with me. I am totally fine with that.
Anyway.
The fan service is always an elegant way to just cater to more money. That's the Disney way.
That's true. I mean, there's probably a comic about that. But anyway, Vader is just like, yeah, you need to take care of this problem because Galen Erso probably leaked our secrets.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of a big deal, Krennic. It's your mess.
Yeah, kind of
clean it up.
Kind of screwed it up. So,
yeah, and after that, I believe they go back to Yavin 4, where we see again Bail Organa and General Dodonna as well.
Yes,
played
and
by
Mon Mothma.
And Mon Mothma, all the leaders, including the Mon Calamari, who I always love seeing.
We love a good Mon Calamari.
I mean, they're fish. How can you not love Calamari? Them?
Who doesn't want some nice sushi with some chipotle mayo on the side and there some soy sauce? Delicious.
It's a trap.
It is a trap.
But yes, this is when they're just like, because...
Oh, let me. Mm-hmm. But rebellions are built on hope.
They have to go to the Imperial storage facility because Jin remembers the message that Galen said to her, which is just like, oh yeah, by the way, the plans are on Scarif, and that is where you'll find the schematics for the Death Star. And I put a little hole, a little exhaust port in it. That is where I laid my trap. This is a very convoluted way to fix a plot hole.
Mm-hmm. I just appreciate the Empire chose like the most gorgeous planet to like build their facility on. Like, if you're gonna do it, make it the beach vacation planet, right? Like, I mean, Scarif is easily like the most beautiful, like probably where you would want to go planet.
Oh, definitely. And it looks like the island from Fire Festival where they were originally supposed to go to. If you guys don't know what we're talking about, look up what Fire Festival is.
Everyone's
in for a treat. But yes, anyway, she doesn't get approval from the rebellion because they're just like, yeah, this is too much big of a risk. Are we going to listen to you, random girl that has a record? No. And then suddenly, this is actually a part I didn't like, where Cassian's just like, I'll join you, and all these guys are gonna join you because
That was too desperate. You're trying to do the Lord of the Rings thing,
and you have my blaster,
and you have my battling from 6 years old.
Hey, everyone's got to support somehow. He got a little crew,
but I do love I love K2's line though when he's just like, "I'm with you too, Jin." Cassian said I had to.
Yeah. You have. I don't care if you hate this movie, Raul. You have to love a smart asteroid. Like.
Do you make me laugh?
Your hatred blinds you, sir.
That hurts my heart.
No. And then they were going to the ship, and I have this joke, and Billy's going to love it. I was like, what is your call sign? Our call sign is Rogue. Rogue Skywalker. I don't know. It's a wrong movie.
No way.
Rogue One.
That is true. That did happen. Rogue One. Okay. Cool. Thanks. I'm taking off.
I know that was a reshoot because they were just like, oh yeah, this is like the last day of filming, and then we're just like, oh shit, we didn't actually say the title of the movie.
JJ wrote that line.
Or Tony Gilroy, either way. No, that I can deal with. That is fine. I don't like the Jin suddenly trusts the Force or whatever, where she's just like, may the Force be with us. I'm like, really?
Oh, yeah.
Really? Yeah. I can see Chirrut saying that, but everybody else, nah.
In this moment, I don't know if you have seen the episode of Seinfeld in the English patient when Elaine is enforced by her boss to go to see the English patient, and she's so annoyed.
Oh, this is the Seinfeld episode?
Just die already! That was me and my sister watching this movie.
This is your English patient.
Yeah, this is my English patient.
Yeah, that movie also is it's not that good. I'm with Elaine on that. Anyway, they go to Scarif and they pull a Return of the Jedi where Bodhi uses some old codes. It's an older code, sir, but it checks out.
Yeah.
And they get through the gate, which is a force field that protects the planet, which makes you think, why don't more Imperial planets have this? I mean, I get why this planet has it. It has all their...
Very expensive, okay? You know how much
money they spend on the Death Star?
Yeah, that's true. Well, they spent all their money on it. That's why it took them two movies to build another one.
They've built a giant space boob that shoots out kyber crystal blasts and blows up a planet.
And the Emperor is still paying for it after it got destroyed.
Yeah, it takes a little time to procure some funds.
But yes, I mean, I get it. But, like, the Empire, like, they probably got, like, a ton of money, to be honest.
Well, yeah, I'm sure they have unlimited money.
Because they steal literally everybody's
life
savings. Anyway, Kay, Jin, and Cassian head into the facility.
Correct.
They have to kill some people. I believe it was a pilot. Kay doesn't have to do anything because he's an Imperial droid. Mm-hmm. And a officer. And that's where we get this is the heist part of the movie. I actually kind of like this part. Because it's just like, oh shit. I would have liked to have seen them planning the heist, but them actually doing it, where it's just like, oh, we're just going to sneak in, by the way. And this whole tension of like, are they going to notice us? What's up? Because then just Kay is just
around.
Like, yes. It's a very odd group to put together. But then Kay is just like, I have a bet. Kay. No. Which is... That was nice when they were just like, shut up.
K2SO, my favorite character of this movie.
Oh, yeah. And they set explosives. We see more stormtroopers. I feel bad for the stormtroopers on the island. They were just having a conversation. They're like two guys at work. But then again, they're stormtroopers.
There's a ton of them.
Yeah.
That's true.
They're expendable.
Yeah. They get hit troopers. With sticks.
Yeah, mm-hmm. The stormtroopers are pretty cool though. They look dope. I like the
They barely hit something. The only thing that I admire about the stormtroopers is the one that hit Baby Yoda in the face in the season one finale of the Mandarin. I was like, yes,
dude,
yes,
dude.
That part was pretty funny. That was like one of my favorite.
I was like, this. Keep going.
Oh my God. You guys are. I can't stand you guys. I have to be the mom, really.
Yeah.
Me.
Yeah.
Me.
Yes.
Yeah.
By the way, I'm not editing most of this out, so this is gonna be okay. Oh my gosh. We're in the third act of the movie, thank God. This is actually the best part of the movie because up until this point, I want to talk about the pacing real quick because the pacing let me talk. Yeah,
it's your best part because they all die.
Yes. That's an
yes. Scene. Will you just let me finish? Because the first time I saw this, the pacing was weird. Like, it was both simultaneously some of the slowest ass, like, the movie moved along at a snail's pace, and then at other parts, they just rush through. It's very weird. So I can't like that.
Okay. Yeah,
anyway, they detonate explosives all over the islands, and then the battle starts. We get the Scarif troopers. You know, it's cool for cosplay and all that shit. And then we get Krennic, who just looks over, and he goes, "Are we blind? Deploy the garrison!
Do something. God."
Yeah, he's just like, dude, go over there. Just do it.
Passes. Go do something, please.
I'm like, finally, fucking.
To be fair, I would be sitting there like, I'm not going until someone tells me to do something. Like, it's probably hot outside, and I'm wearing this stormtrooper outfit. No thanks.
Mm-hmm. They're not getting paid enough.
Yeah, and while that's happening, it turns out the rebellion changed their minds, and then we get the quick R2-D2 C-3PO cameo.
Yep.
Which again is more fan service, but I liked it, and it also made sense because they did ask for a Captain Antilles on the intercom.
Didn't Rebels miss a cameo too?
Chopper. Yes.
Yeah. Chopper. Yeah.
Ba 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 ba.
Wah, 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 wah.
I love that, the droid.
Me too.
I like
and
him.
Then, has while that's happening...
That came to it, so...
Bah, bah,
bah. Bah, 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 bah. Wow.
Anyway, while that's happening, Mon Mothma talks to Bail Organa. It's just like, you're going to have to give the plans to somebody, because apparently it's him. And then he's just like, I got to go to my home planet, and I got to talk with somebody I trust about this. So she can help. And then Mon Mothma's just like, can you trust her? With my life now, excuse me as I go to Alderaan. And to then, die. Yeah, poor Jimmy Smits.
He had a couple more movies. He's
anyway,
fine.
I noticed while this was happening, first of all, the Mon Calamari ships and all that, like the A-Wings, I believe, is what they were called.
Which ones?
You know, the big cruiser ships where they have like the swivel chairs.
And they have that nice kind of like window underneath their feet.
Wings.
Cool. I know. Take my Star Wars credit away.
Oh my goodness. No.
Look, I don't study.
MC-75s are the ships that they were flying. A-Wings.
Yeah. You know what I'm talking about. The ship that Akbar uses.
Yes. MC-75s.
MC-75s. Cool. I'll remember that if I'm ever in the Schmodown. And they show up, and then I noticed right away the stock footage of this is Gold Leader.
Oh,
right
yeah.
Right away. It's literally the same audio.
And then the alive Red 5, who immediately then dies.
No Porkins, though. That's a little disappointing.
Right. There was no Porkins.
There was no Porkins, Biggs, or Wedge. Mm-hmm. Come on, guys. Where's the rest of Rogue Squadron?
A little early. They were still probably a little bit...
They weren't in training?
Are you kidding me? Biggs left. He would have been there. Him and his amazing mustache.
I remember when Diego Luna got casted, I thought he was going to be Biggs. There was like, is the guy with the mustache from A New Hope that's going to be Diego Luna?
Oh, I thought that was. He would have been a good Biggs. Yeah. But I'm glad that he's getting, well, at least he's getting his own series now. Mm-hmm. Anyway, Jin and Cassian are in the access room, and then K2SO is staying behind to help them find where the hell it's at, because he's a droid and he's got he can get through the schematics faster.
Mm-hmm.
And they're just like, all right, go through this. They go through the file cabinet, and then it's just like, oh, they're under code names. And guess what code name comes up? Just take a guess.
Yeah,
War Mantle.
Hyperspace Tracking.
That's actually one of the other.
Black Saber. What was the other one? And I was like, technically, all the thing that they said is the next 10 Disney Plus shows for the next 20 years.
Definitely Black Saber, for sure.
Yeah.
And then, of course, Stardust.
They said War Mantle in Bad Batch.
You are right. You are correct. And then it's like, okay, there's Stardust. All right. And then K2 is just like, okay, by the way, I marked it. And a bunch of stormtroopers come in. And then I actually was kind of sad because I was like, no!
Yes! Hey!
No.
I hate you. Bro, I hate you.
That was the one I was devastated over.
No, I was like, no! I was like Cassian. And he locked them in. And then he's just like, goodbye! Boom! And then he dies. And then this is when, while the battle is happening, we got Baze and Chira and a bunch of soldiers are there. And Bodhi's just like, dude, what can I do? I need something to do in this movie. And they're just like, okay, well, we're probably not going to be able to get in.
That's what they said.
I'm sorry, repeat that again.
I said, stay on the ship and just wait till something gets exploding in here.
Yeah, that does happen pretty quick. But then this is the more convoluted parts of the movie is when...
the Chekhov satellite?
Yeah, so it turns out they're just like, yeah, we're not going to be able to get this off physically because they can't get through the shield generator.
Yep.
There can't be somebody to pick us up. So we're going to have to transfer it digitally. So Bodhi, you're going to have to connect the... You're going to have to signal the rebellion to destroy that shield generator so that we can get a good signal.
Yeah.
And so what does he do? He finds a point. He gets a long cable with a plug in it, and he has to avoid all the gunfire and stuff, and rebels are just getting cut down.
Rogue One.
Ridiculous amounts.
Brought you by AT&T Fiber Up the Internet.
Yeah, it's basically they got to deal with AT&T.
Yeah.
And then Bodhi manages to get in, and he gets a signal. Like, he puts the plug in, and he's just like, all right. So, guys.
Can you hear me now?
You got to destroy the shield. We need more reinforcements here because they're getting slaughtered.
Yep.
And then that happens. I believe it's a Death Trooper throws a grenade in the ship, and Bodhi, boom, he explodes.
Oh.
Yes.
Yeah, I was happy. I was fine with that one.
Yeah. Yeah, this is when the reshoots were very apparent, because it turns out...
They killed everyone!
They kill everybody. But in the original cut, I know this because we do have a source, Bodhi was not supposed to die. Neither were Cassian and Jin. Like, you see the shot of her with the gun and the disc and everything walking up violently. Well, that was because she was just like, F this. If I'm going to go out, I'm going to go out.
Badass.
And what was supposed to happen is that Bodhi's ship, the ship that was going to come up, Bodhi was going to pilot it. And now I just realized every time I hear Bodhi, I'm thinking of Point Break. Patrick Swayze's character is Bodhi. And while this happens, the AT-ATs come down.
Yeah.
And then they start really cutting down the rebels.
Merkin people.
Good moment.
Literally, they're squishing them.
Yeah.
And it's crazy. But they're like, oh... Bodhi also contacted the rebels and is just like, guys, we need to align the antenna so that they could get the signal.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a control panel if we press a very obvious lever. And Chira is just like, all right, might as well do it.
I got this, bitches.
Hold I'm one with the force. The force is with me. I'm one with the force. The force is with me.
And I'm like, fucking die already. I was like, I'm most tired of that phrase.
But he is one with the force, and the force is with him.
Yep.
And then he's the one time he has the blind moment where he's just feeling around for everything. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then he gets it, and then he does his job. And of course, you know what happens? It blows up.
Mm-hmm. Yep. He blows up. It blows up. Everyone blows up.
Except for Baze,
who then gets really upset.
Yes, because Chirrut is his best friend, and he.
Or boyfriend.
Or boyfriend. You're right. But he's just like, oh, man, I'm sorry. And then Chirrut's just like, no, it's okay. It's all right. Just have faith, man. Mm-hmm. It'll be okay. And then he dies.
Yep.
And so Baze actually...
God, they have a Raylo kiss. They kiss. And Chirrut passes the force to Baze. And that was the thing.
So now we're down to what?
Cassie? Oh, and then Baze goes out like a badass, though.
He explodes.
Yeah, he's just killing death troopers. One of them has a grenade, of course.
Yeah.
He explodes. Everybody explodes.
Yep.
That's another thing I never really thought about. Everybody either gets crushed to death or explodes in this movie. Like all the main characters.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, and we're just after this, I believe
the
this is when
the hammerhead attack is pretty cool.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. During the battle, there's a hammerhead ship, which is very much shaped like a hammerhead shark. And they took out the power for one of the Star Destroyers. And then one of the hammerhead ship is just like, hey, let's ram into another ship.
Yeah.
Let's see what happens. Because they can't get through the shield generator. And they're just like, screw it. Let's just down another ship. Maybe that'll do something.
Destroys that whole shield generator.
But it's interesting how a small ass ship pushed that big Star Destroyer. I wonder.
A hammerhead. It rams.
Because it's not about the size, it's how you use it, sir.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
It's weird that fanboys didn't try to destroy that scene like they destroyed the Last Jedi with the Holdo maneuver.
We'll get there when we get there, all right? Because what happens next is, since the satellite is now aligned, it's up to Jin and Cassian, because they have to physically get the disc, which is on like a big ass. It's basically like a briefcase at this point, but it has like the outside of like a floppy disc. Mm-hmm. If you guys remember those,
yeah, it does.
And they have to literally get it. Cassian does it first because. He has to be the hero and everything. While that's happening, Krennic literally went down to the one place that they should have all been at. and starts shooting Cassian. We get a shootout real quick. Cassian gets hit in the shoulder, and he falls down like a good couple of, like, 20-25 feet. Mm-hmm. He falls a good distance and just boom on this metal grate, and he's not moving.
She thought he's dead.
Oh, especially
I thought he was dead.
That she was like,
me too.
Cassian! That she didn't give a fuck. I was like, oh no. Should I act now? Okay. And then she turns around. Oh, that's the villain.
So yeah. She gets it, and then she manages to take the elevator up the up to the top, because of course it's at the top of the tower, and starts uploading it. While that happens, we get the freeze! I've got you here. You're done. Generic villain speech from Krennic.
Yeah.
Whose first name, by the way, is Orson.
And then Jaina was like, and now I'm done. This is my father's revenge. And I'm like, why you just say my name is Inigo Montoya? You killed my father. Now is your time to die.
Yeah, that's her moment. It's her Inigo Montoya moment where she's just like, you don't know who I am, do you? And then he's like, yeah, should I know you? Which that's a fair question. And then she's just like, I'm Jyn Erso, daughter of Galen Erso. And I just sent the rebellion, the fuse to I showed the fuse to blow your station up, and I just told the entire galaxy how to light it.
Okay,
not a bad line. And then, of course, he's just like, end of the line. But lo and behold, boom, gets shot again by Cassian. Somehow. He somehow is there, so Krennic's down. Like, he's still alive, but he gets shot pretty in a pretty good place. And then they're just like, all right, let's upload this bitch. They do it, and then they go down the elevator. I'm pretty sure Last Jedi took this moment, but just made it better. And they're just looking, you know, when she's carrying him because he's injured, of course.
Ah,
and then they're going down. Yeah, they're going down the elevator knowing Tarkin, by the way, is just like, yeah, let's just blow this place up because fuck Krennic.
It is pretty funny how Krennic is seeing the Death Star ray. He's like, oh, it's kind of like revenge because he's like, he said, oh, this is pretty cool. And now he's dying in the cool way. Destroyed by the thing that he wanted the most.
It's called poetic justice. And I actually really like that moment as well.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it rhymes. And then Jyn and Cassian, they're going down. Hinted maybe people like the shippers say, oh, did they kiss in there? And I was just like, no.
Nope.
No. No, they go down to the beach, and then your father would be proud of you. And then they're just, they know they're going to die any second. They're the last characters.
Yep.
And so they just, it's actually kind of sad, though, knowing that you can't get off and that you're going to die.
Yeah. It's rough.
In my cut, when a cousin is hugging Jyn, he gets digitized by the Galaxy Quest crew, and that's the payoff for the Galaxy Quest sequel.
Oh my god. Yeah, we're almost at the end of the movie now, and then Raul.
Get to the best part.
Scene in the movie.
That was reshot, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
This was never originally shot. And so we get I forget which Calamari says it, but he's like, Rogue One, may the force be with you. And his mouth is moving weird. And so they get the upload, they transfer it into a floppy disk, and then they're just like, all right, we gotta get out of here. And before this, there was a scene real quick where Darth Vader is just like, get my ship, we're gonna board that thing, which is the Tantive IV, which you know is the ship that's in the opening of A New Hope.
Yeah.
So then they're trying to get the door open, and it's locked, and yeah, you hear the power go out, and then the whew noise that Brian was doing. And then We see Darth Vader there, and they're like, open fire! And he destroys
the greatest Darth Vader scene of all time.
These guys. Like, he's casually just dodging blasts, and he's just choking dudes, slamming them up in the ceiling, just taking their guns away, cutting them down with the lightsaber. And the one guy is just like, take it! And he gets stabbed. And it's a quick game of keep away.
Yeah.
But it's also just like, oh shit, yeah, they gotta get out of here. But they manage to get it onto the other ship, and then they launch, and Darth Vader is just like, huh, okay, well, I guess we're following them.
Yeah, I'm gonna see them in 5 minutes.
The dramatic cape flapping in space, even though there's no air in space.
With no wind.
It's for dramatic effect. Thank you very much.
But yes, they are in the theater. I was just like, wait a minute. That's the same hallway. What?
Yeah.
And then we see, what does this mean? And we see a figure in white. And I think it was just because of the timing of her passing, but it's Princess Leia with a weird ass freaking CGI face. For like a second, it's fine, but then it's like, oh, okay, oh god, like it's that uncanny valley thing. The same thing with Tarkin.
It's just like hope,
and then they take off, and then that's the end of the movie. Oh my gosh!
Thank god.
So I don't even need to say anything about Raul's thoughts, but I just want to say, how about we say something positive? We'll actually rate the movie, because my rating might surprise you in a way, but just overall,
my something positive.
Yeah, just say some positives, because we've said more than enough negatives about this movie.
The second, it's the end of the movie is the second greatest action scene of all of Star Wars. Next to the Praetorian Guard scene.
Yeah. I can say that it, because my sister woke me up exactly when that scene started, the hallway scene. I would have missed it the first time because I was that bored. But it's a good scene. I cannot give more points to this movie because I hate it. That's the only good positive that I would give it. And you, Billy?
Hey, we'll take it. Billy, say something before he changes his mind.
Okay, I do like what they attempted to do, and I really do like a lot of the production value, of course. There was a lot of money in this thing, and...
Of course, we reached us at like $400 million, I think, maybe?
Maybe, but it doesn't matter. It was an experiment that I think... It at least swung for the fences. You know, they tried something new with Star Wars. There's not really any Jedi up until the very end. There's no lightsabers, and it really does. You feel like that there is a war going on. Like, you really do feel like everybody has to be involved in some capacity with either the Rebellion or the Empire, and that there's very few like people that are just neutral, which with how big the galaxy is, that's kind of a big deal.
Very big galaxy out there.
And I gotta say, I really do like K2SO, and I love that droid at the most. Even people that don't like the movie, except for Raul, it seems like, really do like the droid. And with that said,
what's our rate out of?
What's the rating? And then we can do the plugs, and then you never have to listen to this movie ever again.
Yeah, Raul. Thank God.
What is our rating out of 10? 5?
10?
10?
Yeah.
I will give it a 8. 7.5, 8. I'm in between rounds.
Sure, I'm kind of surprised with how much you were shitting on it.
Oh, no, I really like it. I just, Raul brings out the bad in me.
So. Hear that, buddy? Ooh. I don't even need to ask you what your score is, because I know what you're going to say. Just say it, though.
Let's see. All I give to a movie that I hate, that it only promotes ancillary material that I don't give a shit about, characters that have no meaning, that when they have where they're dying, I was like, yes, fucking die already. I care more about the Suicide Squad movie that same year. I would prefer seeing the Clone Wars animated movie, Attack of the Clones, and Episode 9 over this movie again. This movie's a piece of garbage.
And the holiday special.
And the holiday special. I don't like this movie. I hate it. I almost say this everything. I'm not going to say it again. This movie's a piece of garbage, and I only rewatch it because of the show. I will give it a 2 out of 10.
And we appreciate it.
A 2 out of 10.
Mm-hmm.
Just because of the Darth Vader scene.
Okay, that's fair.
Okay, and I don't know who's...
It's the corn, the guy that sells corn.
Okay, well, I was just about to say, so for our listeners, this has been a chaotic episode, but oh my god, it's been so much fun having Brian on. And just where can they find you on the socials, and you got anything to plug, buddy?
Sure. Bevolucino on Twitter, and then you can find me on A Certain Point of View if you're a Schmodown person, and then you can also find me on Apocalypse Movies with my buddy Jake, and we talk about movies also.
And you can find me at RobertRDC on Twitter, Instagram, Letterboxd, and on TikTok at RobertRDC. You can also, because there's some people, every time that I say Rogue One sucks, I always have my 5 lawyers. I was like, how dare you? Rogue One is better than this and this. And I was like, I hope that you guys listen to this episode, because yeah, Rogue One is still a piece of garbage. And you, Billy?
Oh, I'm just interested to see the people that do listen, how they're gonna react, because this has been a big one. We finally got it off the list. You never get to see that movie again.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, this again has been really fun, and thank you, Brian, for your time. I know you're very busy. Mm-hmm. And yes, we will definitely have you on the show again. And
for me,
yeah, love you, buddy. And you can follow me on Twitter at MasterofPuns196, and all those words are capitalized. You can follow me on Instagram at Billy Batson's Lightning. Nothing is capitalized. And you can follow our Twitter at SYNSpod, and then give us a review, 5-star review on Apple, and or review, no, a written review. and just listen to us on Apple, Google, Stitcher, Spotify, wherever. They're messing with me so bad. Wherever podcasts can be listened to. And
as always, see you next summer. Dun, 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 dun.